you pray with me? Loving and holy God, thank you for your word that we have heard. A familiar word in this season of the year. And we pray that we may hear it as we've heard it so many times before, and that it may give us comfort and joy and hope for this season. But also help us to hear it with new ears and new understanding, as if we've never heard it before, that we might gain the riches that you have for us within it. This we pray in your Son's name. Amen. Several things from the "you can't make this stuff up" bin. A gentleman wrote on the internet about going to a restaurant named Jimmy John's, which is close to home and he loves it. And he ordered a tuna sub. And the girl behind the counter kind of looked at him and said, "Why? Why are you getting that?" He says, "Well, I just laughed out loud and said, well, I don't know. What's a sandwich that you really like?" So she recommended a number 12 or something like that. And it was awesome. So I had a sandwich for dinner that she liked. And another person tells the story of working at Hardee's. And he said, he was working the drive-out window, and he said, "I had a person in the drive-thru ask me if the grilled chicken was deep fat fried. I replied, 'No, it's grilled.' And then I had to have someone else take over while I went to the back and laughed myself out." You know, they were dead serious. Made me glad I wasn't on the road with them. You know, sometimes you just want to ask others, or maybe even yourself, what planet are they on? Perhaps the same planet where some of those contestants from the old Jaywalks All-Stars from Jay Leno's show come from. But you know, for all of us sometimes, it's hard to get things straight. Our lives get stressed and we're just running from one thing to the next, and we say and do some of the stupidest things we can imagine. Whether it's in our conversation with other people or in our lives. We try to get it together, but we can't seem to do it. We know what we want. We know what we want to be, where we want to go. Often things just seem to go awry on the way, that just throw everything out of whack. And the problem may be that we're not getting the first things right. We have to get our head in order before we can get our lives in order. And you know, in many ways, that's why I hear John today. John is telling the people to get your heads in order. It's been a long time since anyone had told the people to do that. Our passage from Malachi about the refiner's fire and the fuller's soap was telling the people to get their heads on straight. And it's that passage from Malachi is not only the last book of the Old Testament, it's also the last chronological book. As you know, books aren't always in chronological order. And Malachi, the prophet Malachi, was the last prophet to speak until John. The last person to speak the word of God until John the Baptist. So it has been 450 years since the people have heard the voice of the Lord in their land, and they have forgotten much. In many ways, John has to take them on a retreat to the wilderness. "Okay, y'all, come out here in the hot wilderness with me. We're going to have Living Holy Lives 101. We're going to learn some things that you have forgotten. Remember, it was in the wilderness back in the beginning, in the time of Moses, that you all learned to rely on God and how much you needed God. But he also, in so many ways, there's a sense of urgency about his word. And he said, you got to get it right, folks, because the kingdom of heaven's close. John has left the city because of he sees the city as a den of iniquity. And he moved out into the wilderness to live in the wilderness. But he knows that the kingdom of heaven is near, that Jesus is on the horizon. Remember, going back a couple of chapters, John jumped in his mother Elizabeth's womb when Mary, the mother of Christ, pregnant with Christ, went to visit her cousin Elizabeth. So John knew from even before the beginning that the kingdom of heaven is near. And the picture on the cover of your bulletin is one of John pointing to Jesus on the cross, the Messiah. It's a part of a larger piece called the Isenheim altarpiece. But I just wanted that picture of John because I've always loved it, because John is pointing to Christ as, that's the kingdom of heaven. And it's been here. It's here. So when John talks about valleys and hills being leveled, he's talking about the kingdom of God coming near in Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth. But he's telling the people, you've got some work to do first. Repent and be forgiven by God. In order to see and know the Messiah, the people have to get in the right position. They need to get their heads straight, their spiritual lives straight. Recently, I came across a little piece, but a young student once asked a rabbi how it was that no one saw God anymore. And the rabbi responded by saying, because nowadays no one is willing to stoop so low. John reminds us that we need to be willing to stoop low to see the kingdom that is near. And he's not talking about cringing in front of God. But he's saying, get on your feet, pray. Pray prayers of confession, ask for repentance, stoop before God and recognize that before God you were nothing. Before the Messiah you were nothing. And if you do that, then you will see the one who has come and the one who is coming. But that's only half the picture. We also have to be willing to say, we also have to be willing to hear God say, you are forgiven. You are my beloved. Confession without a sense of forgiveness, and I'm convinced that this happens in all too many people, but a confession without a sense of forgiveness is an act of emotional and spiritual cruelty on yourself. God wants us to know that we are forgiven. Because only then can we go about the business of loving God and loving God's people. It's only when we feel God's grace that we can look past other people's imperfections and see the person, the God-beloved person in the heart of that person. I want to end with a true story. The people gathered in small clumps on a Sunday early in Advent, chatting and laughing before entering the sanctuary. Some sipped coffee while they caught up on the week's events. Outside in the bright sun, the children were playing. A man with a yellow dog who was walking by the church stopped and asked the children for directions to the rail yards. The children invited the man into the church. They tied his dog outside, brought it a bowl of water, and someone gave it a cupcake. They led the man to the preacher and telling him that the stranger needed directions and a little money for food. The preacher, tall, well-groomed in his black robe and satin stole, looked at the man and caught the whiff of whiskey. He invited the man to worship and said afterwards we'd see about some food. That Sunday, amid the handsome suits and stylish dresses, the colorful wool sweaters and the neatly styled hair and deodorized bodies, sat a man in a torn jacket, baggy pants, wearing shoes with cracked soles, and smelling of whiskey. They gathered on that morning to keep their observance of Advent. They spoke and sang of things to come, of waiting, of expectation, and of hope. And the minister admonished the people to be alert, on the lookout for Christ might come at any moment. And afterwards, the people went downstairs for a potluck lunch and an afternoon of games and songs and making gifts for the shut-ins. The man in the torn coat didn't join them, though he was invited. He sat on a gray folding chair upstairs and talked about Jesus and wept. He said he knew that he'd done bad, and he was just a bum, and he rode in empty boxcars across the country with his dog. Then he said his father sold him when he was six, for a case of beer. The pastor was uneasy. He needed to be downstairs to say grace. Was this man's story even true? How many other churches had he been to that morning? He handed him a sack of food and quickly drove him and his yellow dog to the rail yards. The children who had found the man asked their teacher why he had no money. And why wouldn't he stay with them? And how could your parents sell you? And wasn't that dog wonderful? And would he come again? I don't think so, said the teacher. Christ entered our midst right on schedule with our liturgical calendar, wearing a torn jacket. His only follower was a yellow dog. There was whiskey on his breath, and he saw how quickly the inn was full. We told him politely as possible that we just didn't have much room for folks who ride boxcars and have a problem with alcohol. May God help us to get it right. May God help us to stoop low enough this Advent so that our sights will be high enough at Christmas to see.